This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Greg Hoffman in for Dukes today. We're going until 6:30. Got Jay Binkley, 610 Sports in KC. Talking about the AFC Championship game coming up at 4 o'clock. Damon Mendolara, CBS Sports Radio at 5 on the NFL playoffs and the cheating scandal in Major League Baseball. Bottom of the hour, really smart guy. Frankly, it's kind of crazy that we can get him as a guest because he should be an executive in the NBA still. Ryan McDonough, former GM of the Phoenix Suns, is going to join us at 3:30. But right now, speaking of smart guys, Brian McNally, NBC Sports Washington, covers the Capitals and so much more, is on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Brian, good afternoon, my friend.
Craig, what's up, buddy? What's going on?
Excited to talk about Ovi with you. Also, as he chases Wayne Gretzky, it is my chance to verbalize one of my favorite stats in all of sports. I'm sure you know this, but just so the audience, like, it never gets less amazing when you look at Gretzky. If Wayne Gretzky had never scored a single goal in his entire career, he'd still be the NHL's all-time leader in points.
Isn't that wild?
It's insane. I mean, he's got 1,963 assists. Jaromir Jagr, second all-time in points. He's at 1,961. That's insane.
Like I know different eras and all that stuff, but, I mean, sometimes it's just stupid how good guys are. And that's even if Ovechkin catches him in goals, which is, you know, getting more likely, I guess, by the year at this point. I'm not, you know, Gretzky's on such a different planet from the rest of these guys. It's amazing.
Yeah, Ovechkin, by the way, just for some perspective, in the top, top 20, we can even extend it out to top 25, top 30, while he, in goals, he isn't last in assists. Now, that number is obviously going to climb. I think one person might have actually been, as I'm scrolling quickly behind him, but we know where his office is, and we know what kind of damage he does there. As you have watched his entire career, and for most of it, covered it professionally, if not all of it, like, what words do you use at this point, and what do his teammates say about him as he continues this pursuit and assault of history?
Yeah, we talked to a couple of them last night, Craig, after the game. Ovechkin obviously has the hat trick, 25th of his career. So I think we asked John Carlson, we're like, how do you sum this up? We've asked him a million times, like, hey, say good things about Ovechkin. It gets tiresome at some point. But, like, he made a good point. He's like, sometimes – When you're so in it, you maybe take it for granted, even as a teammate, even as someone who sees it every day. And I think his greater point was, like, you have to try not to do that. Like, he's doing ridiculous things. He pointed out these aren't cupcake records. These aren't, like, you know, things you can just shove aside. These are ridiculous names, ridiculous numbers he's chasing and putting up. And you do have to make sure that you don't take it for granted, because it won't always be like this. He won't play here forever. You know, he's got a contract coming up. He can sign as soon as this summer. But even if he does, 5, 6, 7 years from now, you're not going to be able to say that you're watching one of the greatest athletes of all time. So I think even to his teammates, they have to pinch themselves sometimes to make sure that they don't take it for granted, because it's an amazing thing that he's doing.
Ovechkin's 34 now. He's played in 1,132 career games, which is already, you know, almost 200 more, actually over 200 more than Lemieux played, who he will tie with his next goal. Some of the other names on this list are kind of right in that 1,400, 1,300, 1,400, all the way up to Gordie Howe, Jaromir Jagr. Those guys played 1,700 games. Gretzky played almost 1,500. And there was kind of this thought a couple of years ago that right before they go on the run and win the cup, that Ovechkin's decline had started, and now he's on pace for his third straight 50-goal year, which is nuts. What changed in him that is allowing him to still be this player at this clip at this age?
I don't know that much has changed, Craig, the last couple of years. I mean, he's been on this 50-goal run for a while here now, which is remarkable because I was sure he was done after last year. I was like, okay, he'll settle into that 40 to 45-goal range for another couple of years, and then you'll see him start dipping back down into the 30s. He's doing the things he always does. If anything in his game has changed, it's probably he's smarter about how he employs his kind of he's not going to treat a January game in Ottawa like it's the seventh game of the Stanley Cup finals the way he would have maybe early in his career. So he's more careful with that in that respect. This is the second straight year he and the Caps decided that he would skip the All-Star game, so he's going to take a suspension. It's a little bit of that NBA load management kind of situation, which you see far less often in hockey, but it says something that the last 2 years he's decided to skip out on that and take the one game hit for it. So I think he's more careful with his body in that way. But otherwise he's doing the same things. The shot is still there. He's still able to overpower goalies and take advantage on the power play. Maybe not the speed freak he was as a young player where he could just overwhelm guys. So he has to be a little bit smarter about positioning and getting to the front of the net and being opportunistic. But he's still got that shot, and he'll have that shot for a long time yet. So that gives him a chance almost any night to put up two or three goals. So that's what you're seeing from him these last couple of years. The fact that he could get 50, I'm not kidding. Even like 10 days ago, I was like, wow, he's not going to get 50 this year. I mean, that's just not going to happen. And now I'm looking at it, and I'm like, he only needs 19 goals. He only has, because of the suspension, he only has 32 to go. But 19 goals in 32 games for Ovechkin is not even unreasonable. That's almost likely. So the fact that could happen again is kind of blowing my mind here a little bit.
Craig Hoffman in for Dukes today. Chad Dukes versus the world. Brian McNally's with us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. A Caps sitting best team in the conference, atop the conference, best team in the league by a point over St. Louis as well. Boston right there at 68 points, Caps with 69. You know, when you watch this team, and I guess I'm somewhat asking this selfishly as I emerge from the black hole of football season, do they feel like they're the best team in hockey? Are they taking advantage of a good schedule? Like, how do you feel compared to this year, compared to 2 years ago? Obviously, 2 years ago being the cup year, where this was the part of the year where they started to really turn things around and turn it on, and obviously, eventually, we saw how that ended.
Yeah, it's a good question, because I think I'll probably try to write about this here in the next couple of days, maybe compare them to some of the President's Trophy winning teams that they've had. 2010 was an example. And then obviously 2016 and 2017, both of those seasons, they also won the President's Trophy. This group is kind of right in the middle of the Ovechkin era, of the very top teams. Like if you took the top six or seven teams of the Ovechkin era, this team would probably be third or fourth in points at this time of the year. Pretty close to in goals. The 2010 team will never be top. That's one of the two best goal scoring teams in the kind of post, NHL, but let's say the last 20, 25 years, that team kind of stands alone. This team is pretty close to that with the numbers John Carlson's putting up and kind of depth they have offensively. So does it feel like maybe those years? Not necessarily, but it's close enough that, you feel like they have as good a chance as anybody going into the playoffs. It's kind of interesting to size up the competition behind them. Like they're, in a way, they have the easier path, which wasn't the case during their two President's Trophy seasons. They had to play the Penguins in the second round. That was just going to happen, and you had to deal with it. Now the strength of the conference has migrated to the Atlantic. Now the Bruins, the Lightning, the Maple Leafs, those teams have to throw haymakers at each other the first two rounds. And while the Caps aren't necessarily overwhelming favorites to advance to the conference final, their path is certainly going to be easier than it would be if you were in the other division. So in a way that gives them maybe an advantage those teams in 16 and 17 didn't have.
Monday, February 24th, 1 week, 1 month from today. That is the NHL's trade deadline. Do you expect the Caps to do anything significant?
not significant. They just don't have, given their position in the standings, you know, and the lack of salary cap space, I'm just not sure what they could do. They would probably want to add a veteran defenseman, I'm guessing, but not like a huge name, someone who could, you know, step into the lineup if they needed, needed an extra body, if someone wasn't playing well, if someone got hurt in the playoffs. That's kind of where I would look for them to make a move. Otherwise, I just don't see it. I mean, their fourth line has played really well. The third line is coming together here as a group, which they didn't get to play much together the first 2 months of the season. Now Richard Ponick, Lars Eller, Carl Hagelin have all kind of started contributing as a unit, and obviously in their top six, they don't really need anything at all as long as they stay healthy. So as long as they avoid injury in the next month, I would say depth defenseman is all they can afford and probably all they really need as they head into kind of the home stretch.
Brian, awesome stuff as always, my man. Always good to talk to you, and I'm sure as I return to these studio chairs over the next couple of months and the Caps are making their run, we'll be talking plenty.
Sounds good, Craig. Appreciate it.
You got it. That's Brian McNally on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. I am Craig Hoffman in for Chad Dukes today. Bottom of the hour. A very, very, very good guest on the NBA. But next, breaking news in the college football / NFL draft world. One of the biggest names from the national title game has announced whether he is staying or going. I'll tell you who and if he is staying or going next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Craig Hoffman with you on The Fan in for Dukes today. You can follow me on Twitter, at Craig Hoffman. Simple enough. If you can spell it, here, I'll spell it for you. C-R-A-I-G-H-O-F-F-M-A-N. The college football thing in a second. Just saw this note come through, though, from Jeff McClain, who covers the Eagles for the Philadelphia Inquirer. They are interviewing Graham Harrell, former Texas Tech quarterback and the offensive coordinator at USC, as in Southern California, for their offensive coordinator vacancy today. That's an interesting one. Doug Peterson bringing in some interesting people. Kevin O'Connell had a sniff there before ultimately going to L.A. with the Rams, now bringing in Graham Harrell. So, said before the break, you got a pretty significant college football player who's made his decision. And this is a pretty stunning one. This is from Travis Etienne, running back, Clemson. I'm gonna take you on this ride. I'm gonna take you on this journey. He just posted this to his Twitter page, presumably to probably all of his social media. That's how things work. Clemson family, I want to thank you all for the love and support you've shown me over the last 3 years here at Clemson. All year long, I was asked questions about how special it has been to have my name mentioned with some of the great running backs in Clemson history, ACC history, and college football history. And even to this day, looking back on all we've been able to accomplish with the help of my coaches and teammates, I still can't believe what a ride it has been. Sounds like this is probably headed for an exit. God has blessed me so much during my time here with 3 playoff appearances, 3 ACC titles. All right, now he's just bragging. 2 national championship berths and a national title. But my most memorable moments have been all the work I've put in with my brothers and the team and enjoying every minute of the journey. I thank God for leading me here and lighting the steps on my path to where I am today and where my faith in him will carry me next. When I arrived at Clemson in 2017, I was just a kid from Jennings, Louisiana, with the dream of becoming the best football player and best man I could be. Coach Sweeney, Coach Elliott, my family, my teammates, and so many others have helped me reach for that dream every single day, and I'll always be thankful for their belief in me as a player and as a person. Speaking of dreams, I have long dreamed of competing at the highest level and getting the chance to compete in the NFL. If I offered you $100 and said, hey, to that point, is he going to the NFL? You got to give me $100 if he's not. You'd probably be like, yeah, that's fine. Do I get $100 if he's gone? Yep. Okay, cool. You'd all be paying me $100. But I'm not done dreaming here at Clemson either, which is why I'm announcing that I'll be returning for my senior season. I look forward to earning my degree from this great university and continuing to fight with my brothers on the team to make you proud during the 2020 season. Travis Etienne. Good for him, but wow. Travis Etienne might have been the top running back off the board in the spring. You don't do that at the running back position. You have a limited number of carries. Your body's going to get beat up. You would like as much of those carries, as high a percentage of those carries you're going to have in your life to be happening while you are getting paid. Because the earlier you start the clock on getting paid, the earlier your clock starts on getting a second contract, which is where you get really paid. And for NFL running backs, you typically only get one of those, the really paid contracts. You think Todd Gurley's getting a second one? Nah. You get your rookie deal, you get one more, and you hope to get out with all your limbs in place. It's just the brutality and reality of that position. So I'm certainly not going to bash a kid for wanting to go back to school. Because, let me tell you, being Travis Etienne at Clemson is probably pretty fun. I'd imagine it involves whatever Travis Etienne wants it to involve outside of a professional paycheck. If he likes going to class, cool. If he likes not going to class, I don't think that's probably a huge problem for Travis Etienne at Clemson. I have no idea anything about Travis Etienne other than when I watch him play running back, I go, wow, that dude is a really good running back. Some people had him as RB1 in this draft. Dane Brugler, who's Dane right for now? I think he's with The Athletic. Yeah. He said, it's a surprise, wasn't a lock top 50 draft pick, and maybe that factored in his decision. A chance to grow as a receiver blocker and better inside runner. He seems to really enjoy his college experience, which is awesome. Yeah, for sure. And again, I am not going to criticize a kid for doing what he wants. Nor am I really even going to criticize the adults around him to say, like, how could you not explain to him the ways in which the decision is stupid? Because it's not stupid. If this is what he wants, then so be it. Because guess who else is going back to Clemson? Trevor Lawrence. Because he didn't have a choice. He's not old enough to go to the draft yet. So guess what Clemson's going to be in the playoff next year? The ACC is going to stink again. So they're going to have a blast. Clemson's a great time. Dabo's built a program that, while they have been as successful as Alabama, seems to be a lot more fun than Alabama. And so good for them. Good for him. It's just stunning, considering how good that kid is, where he could have potentially been drafted, and the nature of that position. Interesting for sure. Coming up next, Ryan McDonough. He is a Radio.com sports insider because the Phoenix Suns are a horrible organization and no longer employ him as their GM. That was a silly decision. Their loss is our gain. And so we'll talk to Ryan next on The Fan. Joining us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is our Radio.com Sports NBA Insider, Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. And Ryan, it's the first time you and I have talked, but I do have to let you know you are in very good hands. You are in the hands of a graduate of what one broadcaster calls the Harvard of Central New York. So
oh my gosh.
You are in good hands.
I know where you're going with that, and I also looked at the Harvard of Central New York, as my brother Sean calls Syracuse University. And the main thing for me, I was a journalism major as well, but I couldn't see the sun. And then when I went to Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and saw bright sunshine and some of the co-eds walking around, that swung me down south. Coming through New England, I wanted somewhere a little warmer and a little brighter than Syracuse, despite the excellent journalism school at Newhouse.
I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina. I know all of the things of which you speak. And I also like to joke that I got the same degree as everyone else, but I only had to go there for 2 years as a transfer student. So it did wind up working out. Now, as you mentioned, your brother, Sean, everyone knows Sean from years of broadcasting at a very high level. Your brother, Terry, is also very well known, an NFL executive. You were the GM of the Phoenix Suns. But I've heard Sean in an interview say that your sister is actually the most accomplished person in the family.
Sisters, plural. Yeah, but both of them. Our older sister, Erin, is a hospital executive in Boston at one of the top hospitals that gets a lot of national attention. So she runs their PR and their public affairs there at Brigham and Women's Hospital. And then our younger sister, Cara, is probably the brains of the operation. She's down your way, a little bit north in Baltimore. She's a vice president at Under Armour, Harvard undergrad, Harvard Business School. So like with many families, I think like with a lot of the listeners out there, the women are clearly smarter than the men, at least in our family.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk a little hoops, and let's start with the local team first. There is a growing fear here with some of the things that Bradley Beal has said recently, kind of unhappy, and losing does that. Losing is not fun for anyone, especially a competitor like him. But if you put yourself in Tommy Shepard's shoes, what, if anything, are you saying to Bradley Beal right now, knowing that, yes, he signed this contract this summer, but clearly his frustration is growing?
Yeah, so I think there are a lot of layers here, Craig, and a lot of levels here. I thought Tommy Shepard did an outstanding job along with Ted Leonsis last year as far as getting Bradley Beal to sign that extension. By virtue of signing that extension, Bradley Beal is not trade eligible right now. And the trade deadline is 3 weeks from yesterday. It's Thursday, February 6th. So Bradley Beal will not be traded before then because he's not eligible to be traded before then. So that kind of takes away the short-term possibility of a Bradley Beal trade. However, the more important issue is, you know, long-term, the future of the Wizards. What does Bradley Beal see? And what Tommy and Ted and the group there in Washington will have to continue to do is sell Bradley Beal on the vision that, look, hopefully John Wall is back healthy, that they will make some other moves to upgrade the team. This year, I mean, it's not just the injury to John Wall. As you know, Craig, they've had a number of injury issues up and down their roster, especially some of the young guys who are playing well, like Mo Wagner and Rui Hachimura. So it's been a tough go in Washington as far as the injuries, and I think that'll be a challenge for Tommy Shepard and Scott Brooks and Ted Leonsis to keep Bradley Beal happy and to let him know that hopefully as soon as this upcoming summer that help is coming to hopefully get the Wizards back in the playoff mix next season.
Ryan McDonough with us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. I hate to do this to the fans and ask this question, but I'm very curious about this. Considering what we saw for the trades for Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard this summer, and I'm not saying Bradley Beal is them, but he's whatever the next step or a step and a half below them is, what kind of return could the Wizards get if they ultimately decide this summer to go separate directions, that is the best thing for Brad and the best thing for the Wizards?
They could get a lot for Bradley Beal because, as you mentioned, Craig, he's the best player who may be traded, I think, over the next 6 to 12 months. And my guess is that Tommy Shepard and Ted Leonsis and the group in D.C. will not want to trade him, or they certainly won't want to trade him. But what they could do, and the extension, frankly, helps with this. It gives them more value because Bradley Beal today has 2.5 years left on his contract. He has all of next season and the following season, which is why I think Washington should and will keep Bradley Beal and will continue to recruit him. At the end of the day, Craig, ultimately, I think the trade conversations or any trade conversations potentially centered around Bradley Beal would take place a year from now. Hopefully for your listeners in D.C. who are Wizards fans, the team will be in a much better place a year from now. But if they're not, the Wizards would still, at that point, have a year and a half left on his deal. Bradley Beal is still young. He's in his prime. He's an all-star. I think he will be again this year in the Eastern Conference. And as you know, he's an elite and dynamic scorer who has the most important ability in today's NBA to shoot threes and score efficiently at a high level, especially in doing it this year in Washington with not a lot of help on the roster. So I don't think the Wizards will want to trade him. I understand why teams want to get him. And I think the sell job in Washington from ownership and the front office and the coaching staff will continue to convince Bradley that they're going to add some help and that the team will be a lot better coming out of training camp next season than the record indicates today.
when we go around the league now, number one story is looking ahead to next week. Zion Williamson set to make his debut. When you looked at him, scouting him coming out, what did you see from him besides the obvious of the highlight dunks and things like that? And what do you expect from him when he debuts next week?
He's a very unique player, Craig. I mean, we see the explosive dunks and blocks and the physical things that only a few people in the world, maybe only one person in the world in Zion, can do. But then you also see the instincts and the anticipation. I thought, with the way he shot passing lanes and recovered for blocks, some of that is athleticism, obviously. And he's an extremely quick twitch athlete for a guy that size and that mass. In fact, Baxter Holmes from ESPN.com wrote an interesting article about just how unique he is physically and some of the challenges they're having in New Orleans with the training staff, just because it is unprecedented that a guy that big and strong would be that powerful and move that well. So I think he'll have an impact. My guess is he'll be nervous. As you know, just about every rookie in any sport playing their first game at the pro level, is there are some nerves. But he's so gifted, I think he'll have an impact from day one. I think New Orleans has and will continue to be very cautious with him and his health. And if anything, they'll try to slow him down. They'll try to bring him back later than maybe they would have with another player. And they will be cautious, monitoring him and watching Zion when he comes back to the lineup to make sure that he has no setbacks, because he is a gifted player. And as you know, Craig, the Pelicans are more focused on the next 5 to 10 years than they are trying to win every game over the second half of this season.
For sure. That said, they started horrifically and have turned things around, and they've got a real soft end of the schedule towards the end of the year. Is that a team that if Zion, they're able to ease him in and he's able to make some kind of impact, and you look at what else they've got, they had some other injury issues as well. Is that a team that would scare you if you're maybe not the Lakers, but you're almost anyone else in the Western Conference?
Yeah, they played very well without Zion, as you mentioned. I think they're 9-3 in their last 12 games. As you know, Craig, it's a different year in the Western Conference. What I mean by that is currently the eighth seed is below 500 halfway through the year. Yeah. Memphis is 19-22. So, and you're talking to a guy who, when I was general manager of the Phoenix Suns, we won 48 games my first year and didn't make the playoffs in the West. And not that I'm bitter or anything about that.
Yeah, but I remember that.
I bring
year.
That up because despite New Orleans' struggles, they've only won 16 games out of the first 42, but they're only 3.5 back of the Memphis Grizzlies, and they haven't had Zion play yet. So I think part of it's that, Craig. Part of it also will be Derek Favors has made a big impact for them. He's missed a lot of the first half of the season with some health issues, and then with a death in the family. When he plays, their numbers are a lot better, especially defensively in the rim protection. So getting a healthy Favors and keeping J.J. Redick healthy and adding Zion Williamson and maybe Jrue Holiday coming back to lineup who didn't play last night. New Orleans would be a team that I would not want to play over the second half of the season, given Zion's return, but also given the talent and depth, especially the young talent on the rest of that roster.
All right, I'm going to be self-indulgent here for a second, because that year with the Suns for you guys, I remember thinking you guys were going to be absolutely terrible, and then you barely missed the playoffs. And that was a year Dallas and Memphis just beat you guys out, if I'm remembering correctly. I was working in Dallas at the time, and I know they were right in that mix as well.
Yeah, it was a three-team race. Dallas, Memphis, and Phoenix.
Dragic and Bledsoe were unbelievable for you that year. Were you surprised you guys were good?
I was surprised that we were that good. I thought with Goran Dragic and Eric Bledsoe, two ball handlers who were younger players at the time, especially Bledsoe. We got him in a trade as the backup coming from the LA Clippers when he backed up Chris Paul. Another key part of it for us that year, Craig, in the 2013-14 Phoenix Suns season was Channing Frye coming back. He had missed the previous year with a heart issue, and his floor spacing ability as that stretch five that every team is looking for, the stretch big, he was really important for us. So I didn't think maybe we'd necessarily be as bad as the preseason win totals that had us in the teens, but I honestly didn't expect us to win 48 games and tie for the best ever record by a non-playoff team.
Yeah, I it's not often you get to ask the GM of a team that you were super wrong about what he thought about that particular team, so I figured I'd be self-indulgent for a second. Ryan McDonough is with us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. I got two more for you real quick. First, I wanted to ask you about Luka Doncic. I don't even know what the question is with this dude at this point. He's so good, and I remember going to see the Mavs-Wizards game when they were here last year and watching the control that he played with and just how he seemed to orchestrate the other nine players on the floor, the four on his team willingly and the other five unwillingly. What was your read on him coming out, and how surprised are you, if at all, that he is this good this quickly?
Oh, he's been phenomenal, Craig. I mean, he's obviously off to one of the best starts that any player's ever had to a career in the first year and a half in the history of the NBA, which that's not something I say lightly. I think the thing with Luka that stood out to me is, you know, for all the great things that he's done is, you know, his vision and his passing ability and creativity. You used a good word, control. He's definitely in control of the game. As you know, that is rare for young players. Usually for young players who come into the league, the game is moving quickly for them, and they need to try to slow down. Luka's always had kind of that pace and that feel, and you know, that's what you see with the all-time greats. I mean, Chris Paul, I think, is to some levels always had that. LeBron James obviously has it as well. Just the ability to manipulate defenders. Some of it is the physical gifts, but a lot of it, Craig, is mental. As you know, baiting a defender into something, getting the defense to rotate one way, and then knowing where the help's going to come from. He's a master at that. I think he's still only 20 years old, and that's why the future is bright in Dallas, and I think Luka will be annually in the MVP conversation for the next 5 or 10 years, maybe even longer than that, given his age and his productivity.
For sure, for sure. All right, last question for you, Ryan, on the way out. The Nets are 2-8 in their last 10, and Kyrie is now being critical of his team, I'm not going to say his teammates in the media. His comment was along the lines of, they need a lot more than Kevin Durant to come back. One, is he right? And two, and this might be more important, should he be saying that out loud into microphones?
To answer your second question, no, he should not. But anybody who's watched Kyrie or observed him over, you know, the first 7 or 8 years of his career knows that's who he is and that's what he does. You know, the cold, hard truth, Craig, is that the Nets have been better without Kyrie this year than they have been with him. When Spencer Dinwiddie was the starting point guard and Kyrie was out of the lineup, Spencer Dinwiddie played at an all-star level and carried the team. And with Kyrie in the lineup and with him on the floor, they haven't been as good. So I really don't like that. Obviously, as a former executive, that leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And even if it is true, which I personally don't think it is, but even if it is, Craig, as you know, in that locker room, now you've created a number of issues for your head coach in particular, also for the general manager. And to me, most importantly, you've created some friction or lack of trust with your teammates. And so I just don't understand what the upside of that is. What the good players I've been around, or the team-first, unselfish guys I've been around, either in Boston with the Celtics when we had some good teams, or in Phoenix, if they had issues like that or if they felt that way, they would keep that private, and they would come privately to the head coach or the GM or the owner and say, look, can we get some help? I don't think we have enough. I respect that approach a lot more than publicly lambasting your teammates because of the focus and the negative focus it now puts on the entire organization, you know, again, from the GM to the head coach, and especially the other players in that locker room.
Ryan, this was awesome stuff, man. Really appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Craig. Appreciate it.
Ryan McDonough, Radio.com Sports Insider. You can hear him as well on the Scalin Pals broadcast or podcast. It's not a broadcast because they tape it. That's how podcasts work. And remember, all our insider calls are brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. And as I said, you can hear Ryan on Scalin Pals, available on radio.com or wherever you find your podcast. Great basketball talk with everything you need to hear on the NBA from Ryan, Brian Scalabrine, Kendrick Perkins, and more. All you got to do, go to radio.com and search Scal. Up next, another edition of Dumb Things That Brock Eats. 10 minutes from right now, Football Friday continues with Jay Binkley of 610 Sports in Kansas City. Does Chiefs post game. We're going to talk about the AFC title game. Football Friday is presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. I'm Craig Hoffman in for Dukes today. Chad Dukes versus the world. Chad dominating vacation. I'll take on the world today, which includes Brock. Brock, an overwhelmingly positive influence on the show, I might add. At least, Landfill shaking his head. At least this one. Brock did a good job today, Landfill. I know that's a hard pill for you to swallow, but he helped this show be good. As much as it's been good. I'm going to say Brock's been the positive. Anything that hasn't been good, I'll take the L on that. It's my fault.
It's a team effort, as always.
It's a team effort.
We lose together, we win together.
How's that going there, Landfill?
I just blame Brock when things go
right,
poorly.
He throws me under the bus.
That's my move.
Yeah. It's working well for you, kid. Working well for you. So, Brock, in your hands right now are Peeps.
That's right.
Heart-shaped Peeps.
Heart-shaped Peeps. I saw these in the store last night. I got very excited. Landfill, why don't you try one? Okay. Yeah. Now,
the one thing you guys can work together on, making Landfill eat.
Well, see, and that's the thing. You seemed very shocked when you saw them earlier, because
apparently they smell good based off Landfill's reaction.
You also do some work with personal training.
Sure.
You're very healthy. You might be the healthiest person that works at the Fan.
That's not a high bar.
It's not a high bar. This is correct.
We're a radio station, and we're a sports talk radio station.
Fair enough, but
it's
still,
like winning the 100 meters in the 100 years old, you know, division.
At the
I can say that, right? There's like other versions of that joke that we're not allowed to say on the radio anymore.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
But that being said, you're still top billing, right? So when you see someone eating Peeps, and as you put it, eating them off season, because you thought that they were just an Easter thing, apparently.
Yeah. Well, my being Jewish doesn't help the Peeps conversation. I'm at a religious disadvantage of knowing the ins and outs of Peeps.
I don't, but see.
But it has nothing to do with the fact that they're not healthy.
It has nothing to do with the, see, I think it has nothing to do with the fact that you're part of the tribe. I think it has everything to do with the fact that you're healthy. Because the Peeps are at CVS. They're at the supermarket. Like, you can see them. These happen to be Valentine's Day Peeps, and they are.
See, here's what I'm saying. This is a non-religious holiday, so I think this is a non-controversial statement. I don't think we're in Valentine's season.
Oh,
we're still a month away.
That's,
I feel like,
you're
Valentine's
wrong.
Season is a very short season. It's like the day of
February. Maybe it should be February 12th to 14th. I agree.
Roughly, yeah. I'll give you the 12th. I was going to go 13th. I will be generous and give you the 12th.
However, if you sell products based on the fact that you need a holiday to swindle people into buying them, it starts on January 1st. Because that's when the last season ends. That's when.
So does that mean it's okay to yell at my roommate to take the holiday lights down? Because here's where I'm at as a
member
of
the. They're still up.
Yeah.
No, they should be down now.
They're very inconspicuous. They're just like kind of frosty, so they still kind of work in the winter. But here's how Christmas lights affect me as someone who lives in a townhouse with roommates who put them up. Because I'm someone who does it. It makes my power bill higher, and I'm tired of it.
Yes.
How about that for a Grinch take?
I don't think there's any Grinch takes on January 17th.
Okay, good. All right, I'm going to send that text in the break.
Yeah.
But here's my thing with Peeps. I didn't know anybody actually liked them. I thought everyone just kind of thought they were gross.
Well,
that's not a health thing. That's not religious thing. It's just a taste thing and a texture thing more than anything else.
Fair enough. And that's where the interesting part of this is that I'm not a huge fan of Peeps. However, I am a huge fan of two different artificial flavors. Artificial strawberry, artificial banana. And if you create some sort of candy or candy-like thing that mm-hmm. has either of those artificial flavorings in it, I'm going to kick the tires on it. That's what happened with these. I am impressed.
He's impressed. Landfill, we just got a tweet from Matt. Matt says, what the F? Where's the pinata? Emergency. We don't need to pull up the imaging, because at that point, if we played the imaging, we'd be late. Fast take pinata. You just had a peep. What do you think?
I was actually very impressed. The smell is spectacular. It is a strawberries and cream flavored peep. It's shaped like a heart. They are a little difficult to separate, so it's going to lose points there. Overall, I don't know how much they cost, so I can't really give it a price thing, but I'll give it a solid 7 for taste.
It's a lot better than most Peeps would do. January 17th, and we're talking about Valentine's Peeps.
January 17th is not remotely Valentine's season.
No.
These were out in stores probably by the 2nd.
You know what that makes you, Brock?
Someone who wanted to try artificial strawberry-flavored marshmallows covered in sugar.
You know, that's fair. I was going to go with the sucker, but, you know, non-Valentine's romantic reasons.
I know exactly what's happening. I know what sort of swindle they're trying to pull.
I'm not entirely certain that he did buy these this last couple of days. He might have had these left over from last year, like a post-Valentine's Day sale, and he just pulled them out now because it's semi-plausible that they're in stores.
Since when would he care what we thought about it?
That is a very good assumption, however not true. I would admit it. I would totally cop to it if that were true.
All right. That was a segment of radio that we did and got paid for. Let's see if they let us do another one. We're going to have Jay Binkley of 610 Sports in KC talking about the AFC title game next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.